Matthew, verse 13. You know what we would have to do as I look at this? If we could be in any way involved in that floating village, getting that started, we could cover that wall with a mural for that floating wall, village. If you would rise, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Father, we need to understand your road. We need to see it, to follow it. And we trust you will help us in that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we've read this verse, I'm sure, before. You have heard about the narrow gate and the narrow road. But I wonder, is there actually a road that leads to heaven? And is road, is it paved or is it concrete? And if I'm alive, how can this road lead to life? Just questions about the road, because we all take that imagery of the road and we don't really think about it. But you see, Jesus didn't actually show us a paved highway. And so since he didn't say, "This is the road and you must walk on it," he must have been talking in symbolism. That road represents our life. And it leads to life, which is eternal life in heaven. And so the road that Jesus was talking about, this narrow road, has to do with our life's journey. And it's important that we understand these kinds of things, because Jesus was talking in symbolism, and if we don't apply symbolism where it's necessary, then we kind of get a distorted understanding of what things mean, and we come to wrong conclusions. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "Teach them to your children." Teach what? The principles, God's principles. Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now, is there any parent that ever said to their child, "I can't teach you right now because I'm not sitting at home"? No. And "I can't teach you principles right now because we're not walking on the road, we're driving down the road." What this verse is saying is not that as you walk or you sit or you get up or you lie down, those are the only four times in your life you teach your kids principles. It's basically saying as you live your life, teach. And so the idea of the road is not that we're walking down the road, but we're on our journey. We're on our journey in life. And so you could be driving down the road and you could teach these principles to your kids. The point is, as you live life, teach your children. And that word road means a road, a highway, but it also means figuratively a course of life, a mode of action. It means along the way. I wonder, this road that Jesus said was narrow and it leads to life, which symbolically was heaven. Is it 539? Somebody please show me the road to life that Jesus was talking about. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, roads were named for their destination. Roads were named for where they led. And so we have Damascus Road and the road to Emmaus, and we have Jericho Road. We have some of those roads today. I'll bet you that if you think really, really hard about it, you'll be able to tell me where Parkertown Drive ends. Anybody think it might end in Parkertown? Or how about out in Burlington, Springfield-Jacksonville Road? Probably one end is Springfield and the other end is Jacksonville. But today we have those roads, but we also have roads like in Florida, 38th Street Southwest North. I don't, in Bradenton and Sarasota, Florida, they confuse me with the north and the south and the east and the west and the numbers of the roads. I've got no idea where stuff is down there. And in our neighborhood, everything is nautical terms, you know? And another way of naming a road is by its character, right? Can anybody give a name to that road? Rocky Road. I mean, that's pretty obvious. It's the character of the road. Now, I'm pretty surprised that Wilma got that one, because for Wilma, this is Rocky Road, okay? That I know about Wilma. For me, this one is Rocky Road, okay? That's Philadelphia. That's Rocky's Road. He was running down this Little Italy there. So names can be that way. This one, of course, we would call Sandy Road. And this one, we might call, go figure, the Windy Road, right? And you break into a Beatles song. But we tend to like straight roads and smooth roads. And somehow we've gotten the impression that when we're in Christ, our roads are going to be straight and smooth. We even tell people that when we evangelize them, come to Christ, and he'll make your life, oh, so much better. And he does. But we give the impression that there will never be another windy stretch in your road, another rocky section of road, another hilly section of road. In fact, Proverbs 2:12 says this, wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, for men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perversions of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so from verses like this, and there are several of them like this, we get the impression that a straight path is the right path, and anything that is curvy or wavy is a crooked path and the wrong path. But the problem is that this is symbolism. I would suspect that the road, the narrow path that Jesus was talking about, probably had some winding turns in it. But our impression of that is it was a straight path. And Jesus never said it was straight. He said it was narrow. And what happens is we translate that concept of straight into no problems, no issues. The Christian life is smooth sailing. And then we get to a place in life where it's not smooth sailing and we've got an issue. Why? Because our concept is wrong. Proverbs 2. This proverb clearly gives us the impression that bends in a road are a sign of evil. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There are those, and there was a time when people, if I said to you, I'm having troubles in my life, you'd say that's because you're evil. Your road is twisted, it's crooked, and that's a sign that you're out of favor with God. It's wrong. The idea, straight, good, crooked, bad. In the days when I started college, that long ago, that my first year I went to Ryder College in Trenton, in Lawrenceville. And in those days, Interstate 295 and Interstate 195 were under construction. They were not completed. In fact, there was very little of them completed in those days. And so what we would do to come home is we would take 527 or 571. We'd take those back roads and meander through Allentown, if you know that area. And those roads can be difficult to travel at night, especially if it was raining. They had many stops in them and many turns in them and many different turns. If you missed it, who knows where you were going to wind up. And so when 195 came along, and we one night decided we're gonna try this, because after all, you can go faster and there are no turns and the road is brand new. It's as smooth as can be. And surely to get onto that highway, that straight, smooth road, would lead us to home much faster. The problem is that the road stopped where the money ran out. And so we get on this highway, and it is wonderful sailing. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic compared to 527. And all of a sudden, you see the barricades where the money ran out. And that road put us on an exit onto a road. We had no idea where we were. In fact, we wanted to go south, and that road was going north. But I thought straight and smooth were good. If we had stayed on the crooked, winding, twisted road, we would have gotten home sooner than the superhighway. If we take the Proverbs out of context, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. There's a highway in West Virginia. I don't know the name. I don't know the number. All I can tell you is it enters Charleston from the south. And I can tell you that I was on this road for one purpose, to get to Charleston. And what I didn't know and I experienced is that this road, at one point, enters a very narrow valley. When I say it's a narrow valley, it's like Jesus saying the narrow road. I couldn't imagine that a road was built on basically from just beyond the shoulder, the hill went up. And on the other side, there was a stream that ran along the road. And from the edge of the stream, it went up. And every now and then, there was enough room in this valley for a little rest area, a little convenience store, a little gas station. But for the most part, you were riding through this winding valley with the stream on one side and hills on both sides. And in fact, it was somewhere around mid-afternoon that I was going through this, and I noticed that it was getting dark because we were so far down in the valley, the shadows, the light coming across the top of the mountain. This road is in the top two of the most fantastic roads, stretches of road I have ever been on. Unbelievable. But it wasn't straight, it was winding, and it wasn't level because it was hilly. But I found on this section of road, well, let's put it this way. It's been 15 years, maybe 20 since I've been, well, no. That wouldn't be true. About a dozen years since I've been on this road, and I remember it like I could taste it. But I thought, crooked, curvy, windy wasn't good. Well, I can tell you it was good in my memories. It was an unexpected pleasure that sticks with me today. And then after this valley section, all I know is it entered the city again. I can't tell you anything more about that road except that valley. It was a wonderful journey. So symbolism is important because crooked roads can be wonderful. And straight roads can lead you to places that you're not familiar with. As a matter of fact, there's one proverb that says that the adulterous woman, her crooked paths lead straight to hell. That's pretty straight. She bypasses it all. She leads to hell. The Hebrew concept, just like the idea of teaching your children along as you walk along the road, teaching your children in life, the word road means upright, innocent. See, Scripture was not trying to tell us how to build a highway. You build it straight, you build it smooth, you build it level, that's a road. Scripture was saying, your and my moral character as we live life needs to be this way. It needs to be. And the thing about it is that we name roads for sandy and bumpy and hilly and windy. And we judge the road by the character, its characteristics. We need to judge a road by where it's going. Are we on the road going to life? That's the life road, whether it's bumpy, hilly, quicksand. It's the right road in spite of its characteristics. And we all know that roads change. A sandy road could become a rocky road, could become a straight road, could become a windy road. But if it's the road leading to life, it's the road we need to stay on. We got on the superhighway and it put us in a place where we were lost. If we had just stayed on the more difficult road, we would have gotten home sooner. And so the Bible is not talking about highways, it's talking about the character of our life and the intent of that road word in the context of what we're talking about. There are other roads that are talking about a road. Okay, but in the context of what we're talking about, it is the appropriate human conduct, no matter the condition, according to Mound's dictionary. The appropriate human conduct, no matter the condition. Folks, what we do is not determined by the character of the road. It's determined by the direction of the road. This road leads to life. And so if it's rocky, our character is the same. And if it's sandy, our character is the same. And if it's hilly, our character is the same. And if it's smooth, our character is the same. Can you expand that into your own life? I'm having difficulties today in this area. What's your character? I'm having struggles today in this area. What is your character? What is it that you are supposed to do? Well, the road feels this way. It doesn't matter. The issue is where it leads and how we live in it. Every road leads somewhere. It doesn't matter what its condition is. The question is, where am I going? And how will I get there? If I'm on the right road, if I'm absolutely convinced that I'm on the right road, then I'm not bothered by hills and terrain and bends. If I'm worried that I'm on the wrong road, it can go through the best valley and the most picturesque scenes ever. I'm not going to enjoy it because it's not the right road. Sometimes the road is unfamiliar. That doesn't make it wrong. If you had a destination in mind and only one road led to it, would you be willing to take that road in spite of all difficulty to get to your destination? That's what some of us face now, in the past, or in the future. We all face the question, will I endure the conditions of this road knowing where it goes? Now, I realize that sometimes Scripture also teaches us that God makes us uncomfortable, God stirs us, God moves us from the wrong things we're doing, the Spirit tries to, you know, we talk about the eagles making the children uncomfortable so they'll fly. If you're on the wrong road, you need to find the right one. But if you're on the right one, don't let the conditions scare you away from it. There's a sensitivity that we need to have as Christians. Is the Spirit talking to me, or is this just life? And I got to tell you, in the way I was trained, is if you've got any difficulty at all in your life, you're on the wrong road. Spirit's trying to move you. You best get off of it now. There was no way that we would teach somebody that that rocky road is the right road and it will straighten out in the days ahead. Oh, man, you got rocks in your road? Oh, I don't know what you did, but you must be under the judgment of God. How about teaching people, welcome to life? And you know what? Some of us have spent so much time on the rocky, hilly, difficult to travel sections of road that we don't think that there's ever going to be a beautiful valley in our midst. I have told you, I have done more miles than most people in this church, probably more than many of you combined. And I only one time came across a valley that was so pretty that I'm willing to preach about it. One section of road. Boy, when you come to that section of road in life, enjoy it for all it's worth. I'm on the right road. God has blessed me with this beautiful thing, and I'm going to enjoy it because life gets difficult, but God has given me a rest spot in this valley. That is our life. Stay on the road. Stay on the road. According to Jonathan Kahn, he says, always look to the end of your course, to where it is taking you. If you're on the right road, do not get discouraged by the terrain. The road and the journey of your life will not be known by the terrain, but by the place which it brought you. Folks, we got to get home. And the road is narrow. And it may be windy, and it may be rocky, and all those other conditions. But if it's the right road, stay to it. Now, of course, we got to help our unsaved loved ones understand that they're not on the right road. Whole different symbolism and conversation. Jesus said, the road to life is narrow. But I just told you of the most narrow road I have ever seen in my life was the most pleasant I ever traveled. We look at that, Jesus saying the road is narrow and go, it's gotta be difficult. And it's gonna take away all my freedom. Oh, the narrow road. Oh. I'll say it again. The prettiest road I have ever been on in my life was the most narrow. It's not its characteristics that were the issue. It's where it leads. We're on the road to life. The road to life. It's worth it. Stay on the road. Stay on the road. Traveling down the most beautiful road in the world, and you see a rock and you go, I must be on the wrong road. And we start looking for an exit, a bypass, a way around. God, I didn't make any money on that last job. Should I be sending out my resumes? The church, it's got some administrative and challenges ahead of us. Maybe it's time to give up. Oh, my church is trying to grow up and there's struggles. It's just not the same. Maybe I should find another one. Think about the issues in your life where the first time you see a problem, a challenge, you want to get off that road and find one that doesn't have any conflict, any troubles, any issues. But if it's the right road, we got to stay on the road. I don't want to find another road that makes me lost in the end. I'll endure the challenges. Just God, tell us. Just tell me, God, that I'm on the right road. I'm doing the right thing. And remind me that life has challenges. That life has struggles. Life has things that I need to work through because it develops my character. And the issue is not the condition of the road anyway. It's the condition of my character. And if my character is not developed, then I can't take the road with a few rocks in it. I got news for you, folks. I didn't go from that beautiful valley road to another beautiful valley road to another beautiful valley road. I went from that beautiful valley road into the city. With traffic and congestion and potholes and all that it brings. So I got to remember that there's some courses of action that I've taken that get difficult and they're just plain right. Maybe you have to decide that too. Let's stop being kicked around by the characteristics of the road. And let's start concentrating on the caliber of our life. Attributes. Father, all roads are not the same, and only one leads to you. The only real characteristic we know of that road is that it's narrow. The other thing we do know about that road is that it leads directly through this life. because life is not perfect, we can assume that the journey will not be perfect either. For those, Lord, who have been on that rocky road for what seemed like forever, would you bring them into a valley that they may find rest and encouragement. Those who are struggling, we ask for resolution. But beyond that, Lord, we ask for the wisdom to sustain the journey.